Start again. You can turn there. Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. Good to see everybody. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's the first time I've ever been here with y'all. And as was mentioned, it said he's from Alabama, but surely I'm a Canadian citizen. Believe it or not, I'm from Southern Canada. That's why I say y'all. I was born and raised in Canada. Came to the United States, Kentucky, to play college football. During that time, I was introduced to the Lord's Church. And these two girls invited me to come to services, and they're so pretty I would have gone anywhere with them. And they happened to go to the 12th Street Church of Christ. And that's where I grew up in Jews, went back home about during that time, about 4 months later. Went back home, and there wasn't any place for me to worship. I didn't know anything. I thought I was the only Christian out of Canada. And I worshiped in the basement by myself. And Brother Don Bassett, Brother Paul Earnhardt used to send me tapes. And I went back home, went back to school, and eventually, you know, I found out there were other Christians. In fact, one of them is with us tonight. My buddy Bob Caldwell is with us. He lives here in Niagara Falls, close to where Bill Hall used to preach. And he's got on the way down the floor. He's just visiting my poor place here. And I started preaching and preached all over the place. And now, as I said, I'm in Jordan, Alabama, and the Lord's been good to me. And I know some of y'all have heard me speak in other places around, and I'm just so thankful the Lord is so good. And whenever I've been to go to a place I've never been there before, it's hard to preach to a place. I told the weapons, it's hard to go to a place I don't know. Usually when they invite me back the second time, it's either because they love me or they haven't figured me out yet. And so I hope I get to come back the second time, it's because they love me. And I'm real thankful for the subject that you have. And usually when you hold a meeting, you know, Buckley, he preached for you last week in Berlin, and we talked about that. When you go to a meeting, it's usually pretty easy because if you pick the sermons you want, you just pick 5 or 6 and you know you're going to be all right. When they give you a subject, like, teach us to praise, and I don't, I have to make one up, I hope it goes good. If it doesn't, it'll go good Sunday because I'm going to preach this on Sunday. I'll just fix it up, you know. But in the book of Nehemiah, the people heard God's word being read, and it said they stood up for 6 hours to hear God's word and to praise God in the reading. Once I read that, I decided I start all my lessons with a Bible reading. I asked the congregation to stand, and we all listen as I read. And at the end of the 6 hours, when they heard it read, the author, the speaker said, and the congregation said, and you can read about it in Nehemiah, you won't turn there, and the congregation says, amen and amen. That's how I begin every one of my lessons. So I ask you to please stand now for the reading. Psalm 63, starting in the verse 1. Psalm 63, starting in the verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I'll bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you're on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you've been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul falls close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. And the congregation said, amen. Amen. Who is it? When I reached the 5th grade, all of a sudden in my life, I noticed girls. Now, up to then, I used to throw snowballs at them and just chase them and call them names. But all of a sudden, in about the 5th and 6th grade, girls started making my stomach feel funny. I didn't know why, but I kind of wanted to sit next to them. I kind of wanted to walk with them. I wanted to talk to them on the telephone. And what was the beginning? That was the beginning, again, of love. Now, you call it puppy love back in those days. And but it's the idea, I started to like these girls. And then as I got older, it grew. You start liking and loving more. From when I was in school in Kentucky, I always used to give the girls I was dating, I used to give them for their birthdays and Valentine's and things like that. I used to give them plastic roses. And I used to say, I'll love you till this flower wilts. Every time I go through Kentucky now, I've got to drive fast. There's about 50 girls I love. I'm still in the state. But you know, when you love somebody, you can't wait to talk to him. In fact, you want to talk to him all the time. Not only that, you want to be near him. And then you want to tell others. College is always funny. Sometimes it'll be that the boy or girl in the dormitory, maybe through high school, they never dated very much. That's probably good. And they'll come in, and usually it'll be a girl, and she'll come in and she'll say to her roommate, they'll say, well, how was your date? And she'll say,
I love him. I'm going to marry him.
It'll be her first date ever, but she'll say, he's just the nicest guy in the world. And then she'll say, he's so nice, and she'll just talk, because, again, she's evacuated by him, but she has that feeling now that she loves him. And maybe sometimes it works out. When you love the Lord, the natural behavior will be, you want to praise him. That's what follows. When you love the Lord, you just want to talk to him. You just want to say something to him. You want to tell others about him. And that's what true worship is. True worship comes from your heart. And true praise comes from your lips because your heart is in love with the Lord. In Luke chapter 11 and in verse 1, here's something that the disciples, the followers of God, of Jesus not here, they ask a question. You're familiar with the question. Hey, it's an interesting question. You say, well, why would they ask that? And then in Luke 11, 1, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Think about that. These people say, hey, Lord, you know, we love you. We want to talk to you. You're on our mind all the time, so can you please tell me, we want to pray to you, but we want to do it right. And so the Lord, of course, answers. And that's where you have what we call the Lord's Prayer. What's interesting about the Lord's Prayer, when he answers this, we won't look at it, but you go back and look. The first 10 words are words of praise. And the last 10 words are words of praise. Our Father, who art in heaven. That's praise. Hallowed be thy name. And the last 10 are praising. So he really, what he says, teach us to pray. You know what the answer is? Okay, I want you to praise him. So tonight, when we have the question, can you teach me how to praise? That's a question we all want to ask. And hopefully most of us already have the answers. And if you don't, we'll try to give some answers and maybe it'll help us. But it's a great, what you have tonight is a question in every congregation. Every person ought to ask the Lord when they're raising the waters of baptism, Lord, teach me to pray. Can you teach me? And not only that, now Lord, can you teach me? I want to praise you. I want to do it right. The word praise is an interesting word. It comes from a French word. It means the prize. The prize. To get the prize in French is to get the praise. And also it means to attach value to something. It means to esteem above all else. When you get the prize, you're esteemed. You come first place. You're esteemed above everybody else. When we praise God, it's because he's above everybody else. It's an expression of awe. It's respect. It's being thankful. And it comes from our lips. And now you could also use your hands and feet and so forth a little bit, but most of it comes from your lips, which begins in your heart. So to praise God, to value him, he is the ultimate prize. And that's what we want to do. We want the world to know. We want God to know, number one, you're the ultimate prize. Thanks for taking someone as low as me. And we want everybody else to know. You need to know about the ultimate prize. His name is Jesus Christ. To praise him, man, is to express your total approval, your total respect for who God is and what he is and what he continues to do. You're thankful for him. It's the natural behavior of a follower of Jesus. Not only that, it's the natural behavior of all his creation. Did you know the stars, sun, and moon praise the Lord? Did you know nature praises the Lord? What? It's the natural behavior of somebody who understands who the Creator is. Look at Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 9, 1 and 2. Look what it says. Psalms 9, 1 and 2. My tongue, when I go to the first time I preach it, they say, pick me up and they say, Paul, thank you so much. When I first started preaching, Paul, thank you so much for saying the verses 3 and 4 times. I remember when I first used to go to places, the preacher would say, turn Acts 2:38. By the time I got that, he said, Mark 16:16. I used to say, slow down, buddy. We all don't know where these verses are. And that always used to bother me. So when I started preaching, I would say the verses 3 and 4 times, and people would come to me and say, Paul, thank you so much. I used to say, you're welcome. The reason I said them 3 or 4 times, I couldn't find them. And Brother James Cope, who was instrumental in me preaching, I used to go around the United States with him, and he'd take me and preach and bridge, and he could introduce me to people. He told me to write out my sermons. I'd write out my whole sermon, like a speech. I don't look at it all the time, but if you steal it, you can't read it right, so that's okay. And I write it out. He said, write your sermon, write your verses up. So I say, turn to Ezekiel 33:12. That's Ezekiel 33:12. Ezekiel 33:12. I read the Psalms, but I read it off my page. And people go, that's the verse. You're welcome. But now, that's why I said three, but I want you to know right now, I can find this. Okay, Psalms 9, look what it says. I'll praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'll tell of your marvelous works. I'll be glad and rejoice in you. I'll sing praise to your name, O Lord. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you with my whole heart, he says. God's followers have always praised him. And it's more than just singing, but it involves singing. It's more than just praying, but it involves praying. It's more than just reading. Those are ways we use to praise God. But it has to come from a heart that's full of love. Look at Matthew 15:8. Matthew 15:8. Matthew 15. In verse 8, here's what it says. These people draw near to me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips. See, they're praising the Lord. But their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching his doctrine with their mouths to me. They were praising the Lord. But it wasn't from their heart. And God wasn't pleased with them. Look at Psalms 148. Psalms had the most when you talk about praising the Lord. Look at Psalms 148. Here's a great verse. Great verse. Psalms 148. Starting in verse 1. I want you to notice all the people that praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him all His angels. Praise Him all His hosts. That's angels. Ready? Praise Him sun and moon. Praise Him all the stars. Praise Him the heavens of heavens. And you waters, praise Him. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the depths, fire and hail and snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling His word. All those praise the Lord. Mountains and hills, fruitful trees, cedars, beasts, cattle, creeping things, and flying fowls. Verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord. Think about that. That's all of us. That's the natural reaction. Nature praises them in their own way. So for us, it's a natural response. We can't wait to sing. Because our heart says, I gotta sing. We can't wait to read the Bible. Because our heart's like a great Bible. I can't wait to tell everybody about it. You know why? Because I love them so much. Take your song books and turn to number 2. Number 2. Let's sing number 2. Number 2. And notice what the words are. Notice the words. They just come from the song that we just sang. We just sang. Number 2.
Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heavens, praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest, all His angels praise the name. All His hosts together praise.
Anybody here have been to the Indiana State, Kentucky? Anybody here have been to the Caves before? You go in a cave, George. It's nice down there. It's about 65. But you go in there, and they take you down in the middle of nowhere. And when you're down there, the guys will say this to you. They'll say, okay, now I'm going to turn the lights off. You know, turn the lights off just for a second, just so you can see how dark it is. And if you think you've seen darkness and been dark, you haven't been in the caves. When they turn it off, you can feel it. I mean, it's so dark, I don't care who you are, Superman, he's getting scared. And then they put the light back on, and they're going to bring it up. Just imagine if you're lost in a cave. And there's no light. There's no nothing. You would have to walk like this, because you're not walking in the light. You need to walk like this. Trying to find it. And all of a sudden, you see a pinlight. Just a little pinlight. Shining. Going down. So you walk a little faster. And the pinholes get bigger. And the lights get bigger. And now you're getting, you can see, hey, I can get out. And now you walk a little faster. And now you can see the opening. You run outside. And when you get outside, what do you say? I once was what? Now I was in the dark. Now I'm in the light. Thank the Lord. I mean, even if you're not even religious, you would fall down and say, oh, thank you for saving me. We all were lost in a place way worse than that. We were lost in sin. And Jesus died for us. And he hoped that we would read his letters and read his notes and read his kindness and his love. That we would say, you know what, I need to have my sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. And we did. And now we have a hope of a home in heaven. We once were lost and now we're saved. How can you not praise the Lord? He is worthy to be praised. Look at Isaiah 6:3. You know what they used to do in the Old Testament, the Jews? When something was beyond description, when something was good, sometimes somebody said, hey, you know, you go to a restaurant and say, hey, this is the best pizza you'll ever have. I don't care what, this is the best. Some people say, Five Guys is the best hamburger. Some people say, Chick-fil-A, I'm saying all these in case you want to take me out to eat. Chick-fil-A has the best chicken sandwiches. And you turn, how good? Oh, it is so good. The Jews, God's people, when they wanted to describe something, the ultimate in something, they would say it three times. And that's all. You can't say it anymore. Look at Isaiah 6. And in verse 3. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of all hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. You can't three times. I don't care if you go. He's holy, 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 holy. And say one three times. Why don't you say three times? He said it all. That's who he is. He is worthy to be praised in all the things that we do. Turn your songbooks to number one. I like this songbook. We shouldn't put number zero in there. So just start with number one. Holy, holy, holy. We're going to sing the first and last verses, okay? People say, Paul, where's your PowerPoint? I'm Microsoft. I'm old school. I do some PowerPoints, but people get mad at me enough and they want to see something. I'll put some more on. I can't tell them, blame you, man. I don't know how much this is going to help me. Number one, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, 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 Lord. Holy, 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 holy
I cried to him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. Psalm 66, 18. If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. But certainly God has heard me. Why? He's attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Here's somebody who said, if I have sinned in my life, the Lord is not going to listen to me. But I went to him, and I told him I was sorry, and he had mercy. The result was, he continues to bless the Lord, because the Lord has been good to him. Your faith will increase as you praise the Lord. You'll see his wonderful care. You'll see how he cares for you. And you want to give thanks. When I first started, the first time I ever preached, this is what the congregation was on Sunday night, and had different speakers. There we go. I should have known it was going to be a little difficult, but we had two young men speak. I spoke, and the other guy spoke, his name was Charles Brown. His real name. So, first time I preached, well, I preached before I got ready that Sunday afternoon. We were at the mall, and the girls said, "Oh, what are you wearing that preach?" I said, "Oh, it's wherever I got on, you know. I used to always, I wasn't the best dressed guy," I said. And they said, "Well, you can wear a suit." I said, "I don't have a suit." "You can wear a jacket." I said, "I don't have a jacket." So we came out of the store, we looked down at the mall. The Lord put a sign in there. You know what I'm saying? Suit sale 50%. Now, for men, that usually means lime green and orange. That's how they get you in. There's no good looking suits. And then you get a size 50 and 60 in there. So I get in. Suit sale 50%. I said, "Well, I'll do it. So I went in, and the man never had a suit in my whole life. The man said to me, "What size are you?" I said, "About a medium." He said, "Well, there's no medium. It's 34 inches." So I said, "I like that one right there. It had dashed. It's pretty sharp." Tried it on. I really did. The only thing is, you know, the bottom's got to be fixed. And so the girl said, "Well, we'll pin it up for you." I said, "You know, sew it up for you so you look good that night." So they said to me, and I said, "Well, how much is it?" And they told me, that's when I learned about the extortion plan. You can put so much down, and it means you can own your suit. So I gave them a third of it. You don't tell you how much it cost. I gave them a third, I wore my suit. When the lesson was over, I didn't know. They gave me $16 to preach in that night. I said, I think someone who was visiting came up to me and said, "Mr. Sheen, preaching?" He said, "I wouldn't live in your backyard." He said, "Can you come next Sunday night and preach for us?" I said, "I only got one lesson." They said, "Yes, we want you to preach that lesson." After dinner, they gave me $15. My suit was paid for. I got my suit paid for. $25. I still have that suit. Now, can I wear it? One arm. I'm good in it. One arm. Here's the funny thing about the suit. You know how I have a vest? I kept doing this the whole lesson. I was proud of it. And I kept it doing it. It has the size and things on it. I didn't take it off. Right, $45. You know, I was showing off my vest because I thought it looked good. I saw it back on TV with vest, you know. So I kept doing that, and people said, "How can you get up in your coat?" Said, "You forgot to take off the price tag and all that." I didn't even know I had my suit. So now I'm going to be putting that stuff on the suit, you know. But that was my introduction. But you know what happened after that? The Lord takes care of me. I'm not saying to put a sign at the end of the street. Not at the end of the mall. But when the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added." The older you get, he's not promising the hamburgers, he's not promising this and that. He's promising that you seek right, don't take care of it. If I never had to suit, the people still would have loved me. She loved nothing less, but who wouldn't love me? And she loved me. I was trying to do what everybody else was, but that's what she thought was right, what they thought. What we're saying is, the Lord is great. The Lord will bless you, and your faith will increase the more you praise the Lord. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. It comes to the New Testament, over and over again, you can read about that. 1 Peter 2, and then verse 9. 1 Peter 2, and then verse 9. You are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Look what it says, it's holy special people. What? That you will may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Your faith will increase. It sure will. When you praise the Lord. And again, the main reason, you're commanded to praise the Lord. It's a command to praise Him. In Hebrews 13:15. It's a command for God's people. All people should praise Him, but it's a command for God's people. Hebrews 13, and then verse 15. Therefore, Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And what is it? The fruit of our lips. Giving thanks in His name. So what we said is three things. We said, why do we praise Him? He's worthy. Yes. Why do we praise Him? It increases our faith. And why do we praise Him? Because it's a command. So now we come to 2018. We come to the Miriam Spirit congregation. Every congregation. How can we praise Him? How can we praise Him right? Think of all the Lord asking, Lord, can you tell me how to do it? I want to do it right. Well, we've seen some, we realize that we want to do it. Well, how can I do it properly? First thing is, the more you know about Jesus, the more you'll praise Him, and you'll praise Him properly. Unless you know about anybody, how do you talk about it? You know, if you ever talk to him, I don't even know that guy. Who's your neighbor? Who does street door to that? I've never talked to him. Who lives next door to you? Oh yeah, he needs insurance, and his wife does this, and they got three kids. You talk to him. When you talk to him, you know more about him. And when you know more about him, you're gonna praise the Lord. Look at Romans 11:33. First thing is you gotta know about him. That's why we study, we come to Bible class, and the more we know, we can't wait to sing and to praise to him. Look what it says in Romans 11:33. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has become His counselor? Who has first given to Him, it shall be repaid to Him. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. When you read about Him, you'll read about Him more and more, and you won't be able to hold back in your heart how great He is. Listen, we got a different song, which I'm going to read to you. Turn to number 47. You don't need a song, but yes, I do need a song. I don't even need a song, but you'll know this. 47. The more you know about Him, this is what you're going to say.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
God is real.
Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me.
He saved my soul.
He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And He made me whole. I praise His name. I praise His name. I praise His
that you know about. Now, praise involves your whole body. Look at Psalms 103, verse 1. Psalms 103, in verse 1. It involves your whole body. 103, and in verse 1. Look what it says. 103, and in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. That's all that you have. All that you have. Man, have you ever held a little baby? And you hold the baby and you want it to squeeze it. You can't squeeze it hard enough. It's a little baby of a grandchild. You want it to squeeze it. That's what the Lord says. Everything you have. Everything you have. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Here's the three parts that we use. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Praising the Lord. It takes everything you have. 1 Thessalonians 5 now. Verse 23. Now may the God of peace. Let's go to where we see it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your spirit, that's your mind here. Your soul, that's the spiritual part of you. Your body, the physical. Everything you're made up of, that praises the Lord. It involves your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, all expressed in your words and your actions. Now listen now. I'm not suggesting you run down the aisles and cause confusion. I'm not suggesting you make unusual noises and commotion. Everything should always be done in decent and in order way, orderly way. But we don't have to sit motionless during our praising the Lord. You don't have to. You're not commanded to. When we look at the religious world today, a lot of religious groups, they do a lot of good things. You know where they got it from? They got it from the Lord's church, because the Lord's church was the first church. And the things they do that are strange that we teach against, where did they get them? They made them up. But they do some good things. And where did they get them from? They got them from the Lord's church. So sometimes we hear people say, oh, if we do that, we're going to look like them. They look like us. We're just not doing it. They look like us. In the first century, they said, that's a good place over there. Why don't you guys do it? Now, I'm talking about a few things what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. It takes everything that we have. And you have to do the things that you think are comfortable. Things that the Lord commands. It's so interesting when it comes to certain subjects. Why don't you do that? I don't know. The Bible tells you, there's more verses on praising the Lord in a certain way than there are the Lord's Supper. And we do the Lord's Supper exactly like we should. And I'm not saying, and of course we should. It comes to praising the Lord. We don't even read the verses. And if we read them, we say, well, we don't want to look like them. And I'm here to tell you, they look like us. When they do what's right. Now, for a few moments, I want you to listen to what the Lord says to do in praising him. Again, I'm not saying you don't have to do these. You don't have to. I just want you to know this is what the Lord suggested. This is what he said. And I'm not saying you do it to cause promotion. You do it to praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 63 now, 3 to 5. 63. 3 to 5. Let's look at some things that the Bible teaches. 63, 3 to 5. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I'll bless you while I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name. If any group lifts up their hands in praising to God, they got it from the Bible. They did it. And I'm not saying they have to do it. In a few moments I'm going to say, but if someone does it, you better not be praising them. You better not make fun of them. Because that's what it says. Again, look what it says. My soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth will praise you. It's talking about praising. And my mouth's going to praise while they're praising. They lifted their hands. Look at Psalms. Look at Psalms 32:11. 32:11. Let's just see what it says. 32:11. Psalm 32, verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. Shout for joy with all the upright in your heart. Shout for joy. Psalms 47, 1. Here's a shaky one right here. 47, 1. 47, 1. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. That's what it says. And just being amen. One time I got out, my boy was getting baptized, and they lived in the street most of his life. And they taught him down in Orlando, and they got him in the water on a Wednesday night. He came forward after some Bible studies, and they did try to baptize him, and got him in the water. And he said, "We're now baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for forgiveness of your sins." They put him in the water, and they raised him. The guy yelled, "Hot dog!" Finally, half the congregation said, "Don't say that, they were eating the building." Why did he say hot dog? That's all he knew. That's all he knew. And as he gets older, do you think he's going to teach his kids to say hot dog? Oh, my God. He's probably going to teach them, you know what? Say amen. Say hallelujah. Say something. Say something. We got to remember, so many people were raised from day one. The first time I ever went to a local Church of Christ, I called my mom. I said, "Mom, one of these churches called Trophy." I was raised in the Anglican Church, it was the Episcopalian Church in the United States. And I said, "Mom," she said, "what's it like?" I said, "Mom, aren't you just a normal guy? Wears a suit?" I said, "Don't have an organ and don't choir?" I said, "Everybody sings." My mom says, "Everybody sings?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Do you sing?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Don't sing loud anymore." Mothers, no, don't be wrecking songs, you know. Don't give our family a bad name. Everybody was raised. Like everybody love people work. They work. So they're going to say and do something. And in Colossians, we know that Ephesians, sing and make a joyful noise. There you go, sing. So there's an example. You've got to do what you think's necessary. And when you do it, you don't do it to cause trouble. And you don't do it if it's going to distract people. And, but whatever you decide to do, look at Psalms 95, verse 1, you better do it enthusiastically. You better not do that part. Psalms 95 and verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. And that's the idea of do it enthusiastically. So, you sing so others can hear you. You pray if you're publicly so others can hear you. You're reading so others can hear you. Now, this is very important. This is very important. May we all be as loving, as considerate, and as kind to those brethren. Even visitors might be in this category. These are brethren who praise the Lord in a manner we may not choose to, but it's still scriptural. We just don't choose to do it that way. Maybe they sing louder than we do. What do you do if you get a boy, a little boy or a girl? And sometimes they come visit with us. Little boys and girls come and they sing. I mean, they sing 10 times louder than anyone. What are you going to tell them, little boy or girl? No, you better sing now. Let that man catch up to you. Let the other women catch up to you. Something like we're going to do. Just be thankful. You sing. Let them sing to you. What about if somebody says, "Praise the Lord" in the lesson? I'm telling, these are all things I've heard in my years of preaching. What about to say hallelujah? What about if they kneel for a prayer? Do you know why when you go to some church buildings and even some places today, do you know why they have a kneeling bench? You think they invented it? They got it from the Lord's church in the first and second century. That's where they got it from. And they keep on praying on their knees. We don't even get our knees. I'm not saying you have to, but when I found meetings in places, especially in the South, a lot of men sit on the aisles. You know why? So they can step down, step out in the aisle, and kneel without bothering anybody else. I can kneel down. Maybe I should. But if they want to kneel, who's the man? What about someone who wants to raise their hands in prayer? What are we going to do? Make a lot. The truth trying to praise the Lord. Maybe they come from a group that's what they all did, and they're trying to praise them.
They're not doing it to pay attention.
We're not saying that. What about somebody stands up? Before I ask everybody to stand, I've been places before that where I would do a reading, and I kept standing up all the time. I said, man, what's it doing? So I stand up for God's word for it. One time a man visited a local church for a meeting. And now spiritual metal fixing all during the lesson, the man kept saying, praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I mean, he said it probably more than anybody had ever said it before. Like he said, and it was probably distracting. He said it in the front, and he praised the Lord, and praised the Lord. Well, on the way out, they told the man, he said, sir, we really appreciate you coming. But one thing I want you to know, we don't praise the Lord here. I'm not suggesting you do, but if somebody does these things, I preached in Florida. I preached in Salt Lake City, Utah, where we're the only congregation of 55 LDS churches. And I preached in Utah. I mean, in Wyoming, in Idaho, in the middle of nowhere, preached in fire halls in Montana. Preached at Market Street for VBS back in the 80s. Brother Rollins and I were doing the singing. So that was that long time. I was about 5 years old then. And all these different places, and I've seen, just like some of you travel, I've seen all kinds of things. I've heard all kinds of things. But I've never seen anybody trying to be disrespectful. Sometimes they weren't taught what they probably needed and they had a misunderstanding, but they were trying to. And then I met some men and women strong in the Lord. That they might prove a few things that I just don't understand. But I'm going to be kind to them. That's my brother. And that's my sister. It seems kind of strange that the sun, moon, and stars, they weren't given any instructions. But they all do. They all praise the Lord. And the Lord gives us instructions. Even the angels. And the prayer for all of us is, may we, as Paul tells us in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. That's the same as saying, praise the Lord always, and again I say, praise Him. To rejoice and do it with love. When you love somebody, you can't wait to tell them, and you can't wait to tell others. May we always, in all, of the Lord, and always show respect to the Lord, and to all, especially those of the household of faith. If you have your books here, these supplements, let's turn to number one. It's called Stand in Awe. You have that one over hand? We got number one. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sing. When we get to the court, we get to the near the end where it says, I stand in awe of you, we're all going to stand up. Don't stand up to it. We're all going to stand up, then we're going to sing two times. We're going to sing the last part two times. Are you ready?
You are beautiful beyond description.
your praise. But your praise will do nothing for you eternally if you're not in the night. And if you're not worshiping with a true heart, then you're in the night. The day of Pentecostal people said, what should you do with crucified Jesus? And they all were in the dark. They wanted to be in the light, they wanted to be saved. And believers, they were told, repent and be baptized. You can never sin once more. Be added to the kingdom. If you haven't done that tonight, that's what you need to do. And you'll be praising Him. When you do that, you'll be saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all you've done. You'll be showing the world. You'll be praising Him. Isn't that happening? If you're a child of God and you haven't been living right, shame on you. Tell the Lord your story that you haven't been praising Him. In your daily life, and of course, your service with your local church. If you're not a Christian, we hope you will come in today. If you're a child of God, you've fallen away, we hope you'll come back. If you can help anybody, we'd love to do it right now. Always stand.